Safeguarding Sunday. I will now encourage you this morning to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, because there are moments when silence is not golden. Silence can be deadly. There are moments when looking the other way is not grace. Looking the other way is neglect. There are moments when God calls his people not to remain silent, but to speak up, to be his voice, to be the voice of truth, the voice of justice, to be the voice of compassion in a broken and damaged world. Today on Safeguarding Sunday, we're going to turn to a powerful command from God's word, Proverbs 31:8, which says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed." Friends, this is not a gentle suggestion. This is a divine command. This is a call for God's people to stand in the gap, to be there for the vulnerable, to act with courage, to act with compassion, to love as Jesus loved. We are meant to reflect the heart of Jesus Christ. We are meant to reflect the one who defended the weak, the one who healed the broken, the one who gave his life to redeem the lost. This morning, I just want us to explore together what this verse means for us, what it means for us today, and how we can go about speaking up for those that are silenced, how we can defend those who need to hear that God loves them and cares for them. So the first point, the call to speak up. Understanding God's heart for the vulnerable. If we read a little bit further in Proverbs 31 and we go from verse 8 to verse 9. "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice." These words, they come from the wise sayings of a king called King Lemuel. He was taught by his mother a lot of wisdom, a lot of good advice. And this is a mother's prophetic instruction to her son, a ruler, to lead with righteousness and act with compassion. The Hebrew phrase that's used here for speak up, it literally means open your mouth. It's not something that's passive, it's something that's active. It's a command to break silence, to stand against injustice, to open your mouth, my mouth, when others close theirs. In God's eyes, silence in the face of suffering is sin. Because this call to speak up is a call to act, it's a call to intervene, a call to defend, and a call to protect. And it's a call to each and every one of us. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of widows." I wonder how many of us do that in the 21st century. How many of us just stay silent when we should speak? How many of us choose to take the path of least resistance instead of standing firm for what is right? The prophet Isaiah here, he's echoing the same command that was given earlier. He is saying that God's people are not to just be spectators. We are to be participants in justice. There are many in this world that are suffering. And through God's grace and mercy, we can help. We can assist. We can be there for those that need. To seek justice, it means to actively pursue righteousness in society, especially for those who are vulnerable. Even in Ashendon today, there are those who are vulnerable. There are those in the community around us that are in need. There are those who perhaps are part of broken homes, damaged relationships. They have circumstances and situations that you or I pray that we will never experience. But we're called to help. We're called to be a light in the darkness. We're called to extend hope and love to those around us. Author and preacher John Piper once said this: doing justice means treating people in a way that reflects the infinite worth of God. God has infinite worth. And in many ways, you and I have infinite worth. We're worth the blood of the Saviour. We're worth the sacrifice of Jesus. The Bible says there's nothing in us that makes us worthy. The Bible says that we fall short of God's standards. Yet Christ was willing to die for all who will believe. In his love, he showed mercy to us. And because of his love for us, we must show mercy to others. When we defend the weak, we reflect the God who created us in his image. When we are there for those who are in need, we reflect the care that God has for us. When we speak up for those who are silenced because of fear or pain, we echo the heart of our Saviour. He spoke up for us when we were lost in our sin. He spoke up for us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. How much more should we speak up for others? Let me give you an illustration, a lighthouse keeper. There was once a lighthouse keeper who was given enough oil to keep his lamp burning for a month. And the lamp was meant to burn so that ships knew that there was danger, that there was rocks there. But during that month, there were villagers who came to the lighthouse keeper and asked if they could borrow some oil. They needed oil for their homes, for their lamps. They were in need. And the lighthouse keeper compassionately gave oil to everyone who asked. And then the oil ran out. And that night, there were several ships that were shipwrecked. And there were lives that were lost. And the lighthouse keeper was challenged. And he was confronted by his superiors. And he said, "I was trying to be kind." And the reply that he was given was, "You were appointed to keep the light burning." Friends, we as church are appointed to keep the light burning. We may feel empty. We may feel like we've given all our oil away. But we're meant to carry on burning. Not in our own, using our own fuel, not in our own strength, but in Jesus. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we are meant to keep on, to safeguard, to shine, to bring hope to a dark and dismal world. How do we do that? Well, let's look at the example of Christ, the defender of the faith. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus stood with those who were ignored, those who were despised. He stood with the vulnerable. Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come." Jesus is declaring his mission. This is right at the start of his ministry. And he states he's there to bring freedom, healing, and restoration. In Greek, the word for oppressed, it literally means to be broken into pieces. Jesus came for those who are broken. He came for those that needed rescue. For those who were damaged, he came to make them whole. And friends, every act of safeguarding, every step that we take to protect someone who is vulnerable in life, to protect someone who is broken, echoes the ministry of restoration that Jesus brought. Author and preacher Charles Stanley once said, "Obedience always brings blessing because it aligns us with the heart of God." God's heart is that we follow him. And when we obey the call to safeguard adults, children, other people, we align our very heartbeat with the heartbeat of God. We align ourselves with our Saviour. We become his hands and his feet if we're willing to do what he calls us to do. Is it willingness or is it responsibility? I would suggest it's both. We have a responsibility as the church. We are meant to reflect God's character. The church, it's called to be a safe place. The church is called to be a refuge for the hurting. We're called to be a sanctuary for the weary. God makes us a family for the forgotten. There is so much that we are meant to be. If we're honest, we only scratch the surface. We could do more. We could shine God's love more brightly. And I pray that we will. James 1 verse 27 says, "Pure and genuine religion is in the sight of God the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." The ways of the world corrupt. The ideas of the world are corrupt. We are meant to speak a truth. We are meant to speak life. And Jesus reminds us that true religion, it's not about performance. It's about protection. Many people can say the right things, but it's about what drives us from our hearts that makes a difference. The Greek word that's used here for care means to visit with compassion and responsibility. It's not about sympathy. It's not about being sympathetic from a distance. Oh, such and such is going on over there. Oh, someone should do something. This is about presence. This is about involvement. This is about love in action. It's not just observing, it's doing. Max Lucado wrote this: "God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus." Years ago, people used to wear wristbands with WWJD written on them. What would Jesus do? And I think maybe we don't ask ourselves that question enough in the 21st century. Instead of asking, what would Jesus do in this situation or circumstance, we ask ourselves, what's it convenient for me to do? What do I feel like doing? Instead of having unconditional surrender of God's will, instead of responding to what he calls us to do, we do that which is convenient. Jesus, throughout his ministry, experienced inconvenience. The biggest inconvenience, well, getting nailed to a cross because of someone else's sin. But he was willing to endure the pain, the suffering, the difficulty, the trial, to ensure that you and I could be saved. Maybe the 21st century teaches us that we are meant to be comfortable. We are meant to only do what we feel is right, what we feel like. But God calls us to have compassion, to go that extra mile. If you have two coats, give one away. If you have a cupboard full of food, can you help those who are homeless? Can you show compassion? Can we be more like Jesus? Liz spoke earlier about an umbrella, the umbrella of protection. Think of safeguarding like someone holding an umbrella for someone else in the rain. If there's a storm, we may not be able to stop that storm, but we can provide shelter to stop someone else being soaked. That's what it's like when we create a safe space. That's what it's like when we create a safe environment for children, for the elderly, for the abused, for the vulnerable. We are holding out an umbrella. An umbrella that's actually built from Christ's love. An umbrella that can protect people from the storms of this broken world. Being able to help others, being able to serve others, should really help us to hope more in the truth of the gospel. Because the hope of the gospel, Jesus is our true refuge. There is no other. There's no other way of salvation. And our motivation for safeguarding isn't merely moral. Our motivation for safeguarding is gospel-centered. We protect the vulnerable because Christ protected us first. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Our Lord has promised he will never leave us or forsake us. He will never abandon us. He is always with us. And Jesus, yes, he is the ultimate safeguard. He is the eternal refuge. When we're vulnerable, when we fall into sin, he is our defender. He is our protector. When we're powerless, he is our saviour. Friends, when we were spiritually dead, he gave us life. And life in abundance. At the cross, Jesus took on himself our guilt. He took our shame. He took our brokenness. He died in our place so that we could be free. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. And now Jesus offers forgiveness to all who will believe in him. To all who will trust in him. Friends, we live in a world where people dismiss God. They believe strange theories. They listen to the latest fads or the latest craze. And there are so many in this world that are heading to a lost eternity because they refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is real, that Jesus is Lord. To repent, to ask for forgiveness. That's what we're meant to do. Those of us who know and love the Lord this morning, we know that at the cross, Jesus paid the price for us. The world needs to know that too. That there is a safe place in Jesus. And an eternity in the safest place possible. An eternity with God. If we trust in him now. Tim Keller once said this. The gospel is this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet, at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. This is our hope. This is our message. The safest place any person can be is in Christ. And friends, our call to action is that we are meant to be the voice, we are meant to be the light, we are meant to be the witness. Safeguarding, it's not just a policy, it's kingdom principle that we need to live by. It's how we love God, it's how we love our neighbour, it's how we live the gospel in action. Every day. Not just for an hour or two on a Sunday, but every single day. We live out the gospel. Micah verse 6, verse 8. O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I can't say it clearer than God's word says it. God requires this of us. To do what's right, that means to act justly in this world. To love mercy, that is to reflect God's love, his covenant love with each and every one of us. To walk humbly, that's to live with daily dependence on God. Our egos should never get in the way of serving God. Our egos should never get in the way of loving others. Archie Kendall once said this: it costs to do God's will, but it costs more not to. Archie is a very wise man. God really ministers to many through his books, through his sermons. And sometimes the simplest phrase that he presents to us, it hits us right between the eyes. It costs to do God's will, but it costs more not to. Church, it may cost courage, it may cost time, it may cost effort to safeguard others, but the cost of silence is far greater. The damage of silence is far greater. Don't be indifferent. Speak up. Stand up. Step out in faith. Be the shield that someone needs. Perhaps this morning you realise that actually you're the one who needs protection, spiritually, emotionally, or physically. Perhaps today you are feeling broken, unseen, or unworthy. Hear this. Jesus Christ sees you. Jesus Christ knows you. He knows your name and he died for you. He went to the cross so that you could be set free from the burden of your sin. He went to the cross so that you could be forgiven. And he rose again to give you eternal life and to make you a new creation, to adopt you into the family of God. And all we're called to do is to repent of our sin, to turn away from darkness and turn to his marvellous light, to turn to Jesus and trust him as Lord and as Saviour. In Jesus, we find our refuge, we find our identity, we find our purpose. In conclusion, go and speak up. The Church of Jesus, we must be a voice for the voiceless. We must be the refuge for the weary. We must be the light in the darkness. May we be a people who speak up with courage. May we be a people who act with compassion. May we be a people who love with conviction. And let's be a church that reflects the heart of Jesus, the one who said, "Let the children come to me." Friends, my prayer this morning is that the Lord will fill us with compassion, that he will guide us with his wisdom, and that he will empower us by the Holy Spirit to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. Friends, today, go into this week in his strength. The Lord is with you in everything that you do. Tell others about your refuge. Tell others about your Redeemer. Shine the light in this dark and dangerous world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love towards each and every one of us. Thank you that we are safe in your hands and in your care. We pray, Lord, for those who are vulnerable, for those who are sick, for those that are hurting, for those, Lord, that are broken, and pray that you will bring healing and wholeness into their lives, and that, Lord, you would use even us, that you would make us your mouthpiece, that we would show your love, your mercy and compassion to those that we encounter. Lord, may we take the responsibility of safeguarding seriously, and may we seek, Lord, to be that umbrella, to help hold up that umbrella that is you, Lord, that your protection may be across each and every one. In our own strength, Lord, we'll fail, but Lord, you are able to do all things. So empower us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.